Today on Real Radio.
You will marry single person, someone you date. It's just a matter of time. That is both exciting and frightening at the same time.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Why Should I? A collection of biblical lessons that takes a look at what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices for the believer. Now, one very important lifestyle choice is coming up with a spouse that is a true believer. And Pastor Jack shares from God's Word as well as his pastoral experience with some valuable insight into this extremely important matter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson that addresses the question, why should I find a Christian mate?
And we are in a series. We are actually nearing very close to the end of this series on the Why Should I series. And we've made the way down to this morning's topic. And it is one that apparently, according to last service, will generate quite a bit of emotion and feeling. And that is, why should I find a Christian mate? I guess I should make it clear, first of all, that if you are married, you have your mate. Praise the Lord, Pastor Jack. I get to leave my unbelieving wife and go find a Christian. No, that's not what we're talking about. This message this morning is obviously and predominantly to the single person this morning. But if you're married here this morning, you'll get enough out of it to make it worth your while in being here today. Why should you find a Christian mate? And we're going through as a portion of scripture that we're using for this series, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. And it reads, "Then those who gladly received his word," that is Peter's preaching on the southern steps there of Jerusalem, "they were baptized, and about that day 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship." That's important. Teaching and being together. "And in breaking bread and in prayers, then awe or reverence or fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Three things we will attempt to look at this morning. By no means do they cover the incredible spectrum of the topic that we're considering today regarding marriage, engagement, dating, relationships. So I'll just touch on three, and limited for time's sake, may the Lord bless this. Those three things are, why should I find a Christian mate? Number one, because it's what you need. I'm talking to the Christians this morning. If you're not a Christian, just listen in. But I'm talking to the Christian, and this is what you need if you have that desire to be married. You're single now, but you have a desire, or you have what the Bible talks about, a gift to be married. There's a gift, listen church, there's a gift that God gives for a person to be single, and there's a gift that God gives for a person to be married. Those of you who are single and you want to be married, and you're afraid that your gift is that you're going to be single, I got good news for you. Being celibate is not your gift. Those who are single and they want to be single have been given that gift by God, and they're excited about their singleness. They're like, "Yahoo! I'm single!" And they don't marry. They don't get married. It's not even a desire of theirs. That's important to keep in mind, and we'll touch on that as we go through this. But in the context of finding a Christian mate, eventually leading to marriage, it's what you need. God has made you that way. Secondly, we'll see today that it's what works the best. According to God, this is what works the best. And then thirdly, we'll see today, it's what God has intended. You having a Christian mate, a Christian husband and wife. Now remember, a Christian husband or wife always first is preceded by engagement. You say, well, duh. Well, that's always preceded first by getting to know somebody, meeting them. Yeah. It is always preceded by a date or going out with someone. Concluding this, you will marry, single person, someone you date. It's just a matter of time. That is both exciting and frightening at the same time. Because who is it, listen, who you would marry? Who is it that you would date? Who is it that you would go out with? It is all wrapped together. You cannot divide it up. Keep that in mind as we go through our study this morning. Number one, if you haven't written it down, do so now. Why should you find a Christian mate? Well, number one, it's what you need. Assuming now that God has given you that desire and that heart to dream ahead, as it were, to look ahead. Oh, you know, I can't wait till I'm married, or I'm looking forward to the future. Having that in your heart, and by and large, most people do, the Bible tells us that's exactly what we need. Did you know that? It's what we need. When God created Adam, it's a great thing that at the end of the day, when Adam, remember the Bible says that God paraded all the animals in front of Adam, and he named them the names of the animals Adam gave. So the hippopotami come by, Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus, and he goes, you know, writes down hippopotamus, gives them a name, great. Male, female, hippo, cool. Monkeys go by, Mr. and Mrs. Monkey. He makes names. He sees the zebras go by and the giraffes go by. And then the Bible says at the end of the day, Adam did not see or find a helpmate that was comparable for him or to him. That's good news. Why did God do that, though? Why did God do that? Why did God parade all of these wonderful, beautiful couples before Adam, and then even intensify the issue by giving Adam the authority to name the animals, then at the end of the day, overwhelming Adam with the sense of, I'm all alone. I mean, what a kind of acute romantic terror is that? At the end of the day, you know, all of these animals are laying down under the trees, you know, and the monkeys are cuddling together, and there's little Adam, you know. He doesn't have a honey to be with. What was God doing? I think God was intensifying the fact that Adam was incomplete. He saw all those animals complete, but Adam did not see himself complete. I think God was kind of turning up the oven, so to speak, to communicate, boy, Adam, do you need somebody? And the amazing thing to me is that Adam had God. Couldn't that have been enough? And many guys would say, yeah, couldn't that have been enough? But the truth is God knows better. The Bible says that God wound up putting Adam to sleep, and pulling from his side was a rib. And from Adam's rib, God created woman. And that's fantastic, because, ladies, you ever wonder why us guys are so messy? You know, the Bible says that God created Adam from the dirt of the earth. We have no problem with that. But it's amazing, guys, you ever wonder why women are just so particular and so neat? Because the Bible says that God created her from the side of Adam, not from dirt. He took the DNA, he took the biology of a man from the bone, from the marrow, from the blood, and he creates, God did, this wonderful woman. And the Bible says that there God presented Eve unto Adam, and Adam is a great thing. He goes, wow, he looks at her and goes, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I will call her woman. And you got to wonder how he said, I'm sure he didn't say, you know, I guess, what do I do? I guess I'll call her woman. I think there's a little bit of excitement in that. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Whoo, man. Oh, right, she's beautiful. She is beautiful. There was nothing clouding the meeting. The sun was probably just right. The breeze. Can you imagine living in that incredible environment? And here she comes. You know, the angels are probably either flapping wings or the violins are going, here she comes, you know. And Adam's like overwhelmed. Church, listen up. It is God's desire that you be overwhelmed with somebody like that, that you be excited, that you find them physically attractive, emotionally attractive, and most important, spiritually attractive. And we're going to look at some of the things about that. And I want to kind of rush through and then spend more time near the end. Number one, this is what you need. You need a mate, a Christian mate. And you say, Pastor, preach it. Make some of these men hear it. That's what I'm longing for. That's what I'm waiting for. Listen, you wait and you hang on and you seek the Lord. Jot it down, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things, including him, including her, will be added to you. But there's a priority. Seek God and his concerns first. You and I live in a culture that says, no, you seek yourself out first and get what you must have at any cost. It's in modern music today. It's on MTV. It's in sitcoms. It's in programs. It's in movies. It's all over television. That you've got to have a Bowflex man or a Victoria's Secret girl. Well, that was, you know, and if you're getting conditions, like, yeah, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. If God's going to bring to me that guy or that girl, they're going to look just like that. Well, if they're going to look just like that, then why do they spend so much time airbrushing the advertisement and implanting this and extracting that? We live in a world that is not true. We live in a world that is evading real relationship. Why? Because our hearts are not content before God. We try to find our meaning, listen, our source, our existence, based upon what that other person can do for me. And if they're perfect, if they're beautiful, if she's got the right attitude or he's got the right biceps, then I'm going to be happy. And that's what the world is telling us. The Madison Avenue person, they don't exist. And listen, if they have any likeness to that dream world, there's other problems. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen carefully. Life's got its troubles, no matter how cute he or she is. We're talking about real relationship here. And what does a real relationship look like? Frankly, gals, listen, guys, you too. If you are trying to present yourself almost like a showpiece, showroom model, just know this. Eventually, inevitably, the hardware is going to droop. What I used to have up here on a 46-inch chest of mine is now a 36-plus waist. I used to have big arms. I used to work out, and I used to be involved in sports heavily. My arms aren't big anymore. Stuff happens. Things, you know, droop. And it's life. And the thing is this way. We get this thing pictured, that is what I have to have. And if your foundation's based upon that, you will forever be stressed in that relationship because, listen, how do you look? You're going to ask yourself, oh, you know, how do I look? And then, and you know, this morning I was driving here today and the sun was coming through the windshield of the truck just right that it was reflecting off of my hands. And I'm looking at these spots on my hands. And I was not admitting to myself what they're called. I'm going to see a doctor about it. But he's going to tell me what I already know. They're age spots. And I don't like that. Unless Lisa, it doesn't bother her. If it doesn't bother her, then I don't care. You see, real relationship is based upon what's more than what's physical. But yet, so many of you young people are growing up in a culture that the standard has been set. No, we're talking about real relationship, and a real relationship is what you need. God knows this, and he's wired you that way. Not only a real relationship in that what we need, the truth of the matter is that when we talk about having a Christian relationship, immediately, and it's already been in your head since I started, the Bible warns us, do not be unequally yoked. That is, a non-believer and a believer are not to get married. But yet I hear people say, he's cute and he's not a Christian, but I won't let it go very far. You have no control. He might be the nicest, sweetest guy in the world and be an antichrist in attitude. But you know what? If you let that relationship go, he's so cute. Yeah, but he's a little Satanist. Look at him. He doesn't want anything to do with your God. He thinks the Bible is crazy. And what you have not yet thought of, girl, is that if that relationship advances, there'll come a day that if you get married, apparently there'll be no problem on the surface on the outset. But what happens when you have children? You're going to say, look, let's take Junior to his first church service. And, you know, husband Bob is going to say, why should we when I haven't even gone yet? No, the guys stay home together. You can go to church, Mom. And you say, that would never happen. We hear about it all the time in this church. Happens all the time. It started out so cute and so fluffy and all this kind of stuff, but look what it's turned into. A home divided like this on a spiritual issue. Salvation. And someone who's not saved. Someone who loves God and someone who doesn't care about God. Well, listen, not only a real relationship, that's what you need to have in life. Don't take your cue from the world. There's nothing real about what the world offers you. Because the world says things like this. A real relationship is a youthfulness. You know how the world is scrambling for youthfulness? Now look, we should all look our best. Remember what J. Vernon McGee said? Have you ever heard that on his radio program? He goes, we should always look our best. And women, I have no problem with them putting on makeup, he said. He said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. I didn't say that. He said it. That's J. Vernon McGee through the Bible Radio, Pasadena, California. Well, we should look our best, you know. We should try to look our best as long as we can. But listen, the world says, you know what? You got to keep your youthfulness. Let me admit for some of the women in here, because, again, we hear it all the time in counseling. Women are petrified of growing older. Because they're afraid that someday their relatively normal, stable, faithful husband will come home and cash her in for a new version, a new revision. It happens all the time. When someone gets their eyes off of God, then anything's possible. And I'm sure it rends the heart of God. Youthfulness. Your heart, if your mate, if your spouse is not anchored in the ways of God and the will of God, Satan will come along and dangle someone who's more youthful. Another thing, the world will say, you know what? It's money. It's just money. You know what? Yeah, money can't buy happiness, but it sure helps, the world says. And you look for a guy and you look for a girl that's got money. That's what the modern gospel today is in life. Youthfulness, money, looks. Get the looks. And again, we're to look good. We're to look good for our spouse, or look good for our date, or look good for our fiance. That's fine and that's wonderful. But there's an extreme to that, where it's based upon that. Well, he's not a very nice guy. He doesn't know the Lord, but he's sure a good-looking guy. You know what? Some of you older people could stand up and say, let me tell you something about good-looking guys or good-looking girls. It only lasts so long. And you know what? What you think you're in love with is not love at all, because it's so superficial. When you find out what they're made of, that's where real love is decided upon. And he or she may be an absolute bomb, or what's the word these days? Anybody help me out? Is it bomb still? It's been a bomb. Okay. A real babe. What? Tight. Tight. Oh, he or she may be real tight. Well, you know what? The thing is, that only lasts for a while. Because then you get to know Mr. Tight. And you know what? You don't want to be around him. He can look, you know, so much like this supermodel or whatever the criteria is. And as soon as he opens his mouth with his attitude, it's absolutely terrible. And yet in a very superficial world, somebody will say, hey, that's okay. As long as she's a good looker, man, that's all right. That's all counts to me. You know what? That's not important. And be careful. Another thing that we notice is that regarding a relationship that you need, and I sound so much like a dad. You should be so glad that you're not my kid, huh? Another thing is, regarding you and him or him and who, whoever it is that you guys have a unified vision about relationship. A unified vision about relationship. You say, well, how can that be established? Again, I'm talking in the context of a Christian. A Christian. That means God has possession of their hearts. They're not perfect. They'll make mistakes. But you know what? They answer to God and they know it. And they've got this unified vision about relationship. Like this. Somebody might say, well, this is my view of a great relationship. And you hear that person talking, you think, what planet are they on? But see, two Christians, they've got a unified vision on what that means. This is what God has said about relationship. Okay, is everybody ready? Listen, young lady, you're going to want to write this one down. What is that unified vision regarding relationship? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and many other scriptures, Colossians chapter 2 and 3, that it will be hallmarked by servanthood. Girl, write that down. He will serve you. But wait a minute. I thought the Bible says that the guy's the head of the house. It does. That's exactly what it says. When we do a wedding here, or when a wedding's done anywhere, isn't it kind of fun? Watch, she's back in hiding, right? He comes out with me. I come up to the altar, and he's standing here. The rest of the guys, they're off to the side. You want to know why? Hey, I'm just the witness, and I'll make it legal, and I'll introduce the marriage to God. All right? But he's on the altar. What does she see? The door opens up. The first thing she sees is an aisle, which leads to an altar. Who's on it? He is. That's the meaning of the word head of the house. He's on the altar. His head goes off first. He's the first sacrifice. To be head of the house. I'm the head of the house. You better read it carefully. It means you're the first one to the sacrifice. And all the ladies said, yeah. Yeah. It means that he's the defender. He's the provider. He's the one to protect and to watch over the home. It's none of this, woman, submit. First of all, give her something to submit to. You are the head. If you're going to invoke Bible, invoke it all the way. And the Bible says that we're to be like Christ. What did Jesus do? Did he ever say, church, submit? Come on now. No, he went to the cross. He took himself to the cross and he purchased out of the world the church, says the Bible. Paul the Apostle says, this is a great mystery that I speak about marriage, for it is an illustration or type of Christ and the church, Paul says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Find a Christian Mate? It's a look at what Scripture has to say about being yoked, if you will, with a true believer. Why Should I Find a Christian Mate? Part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons simply called Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this collection of topical lessons by Pastor Jack called the Why Should I series is now available on MP3 CD, and our offer, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on an MP3 CD. It's very convenient. That's Pastor Jack's entire series you've been hearing here on Real Radio. The Why Should I series on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now you can call, you can click or write if you'd like. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and the rest is easy, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, the Why Should I series on MP3 CD. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. Also, don't forget to join us tonight on his channel, that's hischannel.com, for the live airing of our Wednesday night Bible study. That's 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.